Letter, Lucy Westenra to Mina Murray. 17 Chatham Street, Wednesday. My dearest Mina, I must say you tax me very unfairly with being a bad correspondent. I wrote to you twice since we parted, and your last letter was only your second. Besides, I have nothing to tell you. There's really nothing to interest you. Town is very pleasant just now, and we go a good deal to picture galleries for walks and rides in the park. As to the tall, curly-haired man, I suppose is the one who was with me in the last pub. Someone has evidently been telling tales. That was Mr. Holmwood.
It's time for Dracula Weekly. It's time for Dracula Weekly.
Welcome to week two of Dracula Weekly. I'm your host, Jasmine Garcia, and
I'm Shamila, and after this week, I'm never looking at jelly babies the same way again.
You're not looking at what again?
Jelly babies, you know, because of that one Tumblr post saying, you know, eat a baby, have a jelly baby.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Yeah, there is some child devouring in this, implied in this part, unfortunately.
Hannibal, this is not the sort of cannibalism Callie wanted.
Yeah, like I said in the chat, I don't think Hannibal goes that far to his credit, I guess.
Yay!
The bar is in hell. But yeah, it's a relatively short section in terms of things that actually happen in this portion of Dracula Daily. We do get Lucy's response to Mina's letter, and we find out she's in love with the first of her three suitors, Arthur Holmwood. Although she has also met Dr. Seward as well, who she actually thought would be good for Mina if she wasn't already engaged.
She is such a cheery girl. Like, I hate whenever they put her as the vamp, the femme fatale in adaptation, because she's clearly not here. She's, like, so cheery. Like, she's the kind of girl who puts hearts over her eyes, or who dots her eyes with hearts. And she gives me glittery gel pen vibes. She'd be a Lisa Frank girl.
Oh, she'd absolutely be a Lisa Frank girl. Her and Glinda Upland would be buddies. And yes, that is on my brain because that Wicked trailer came out.
Oh, yeah. Also, mm-hmm. Yeah, Mina and Lucy, childhood sweethearts, damn you, Dracula.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We talked about this last time. And if anything, Lucy's letter just confirms that these girls love each other whichever way you want to see it. Of course, because it's this podcast with this crew, of course we're going to see it as gay. I will say it is almost a shame that Callie couldn't make it, considering the fact we kind of low-key traumatized them with this.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, I know it's like some sort of prerequisite for, like, insane asylum and the horrific treatment of mental illness during Victorian times, but
oh, absolutely.
There should have been a warning. There absolutely should have been a warning.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's just a feature in Gothic literature, because, you know, especially back then, what was scarier than how they treated the mentally ill?
Yeah.
Not that they saw it that way. Like, you know, she just goes on about how cool it is that Dr. Seward, you know, owns an asylum. I'll admit I was a little surprised at the fact that she thought that Dr. Seward would be more suited for Mina, considering the fact I know that he will be vying for her attention along with Quincy and Arthur before, you know, she dies. Spoiler alert, I guess, for a almost century-old story. Actually, it's over a century-old, isn't it?
Yeah, oh.
But yeah, this will not be Lucy's last love interest, of course.
Nope.
And it is stupid that, because the whole point of Lucy is that she's this very sweet and innocent rich girl who just wants to be in love, wants to, you know, be happy. And, like, there's a lot of analysis to be made of Mina versus Lucy, like, what they represent, how Lucy represents, like, the dying aristocracy, while Mina's the more modern woman. Like, there's a whole lot of analysis.
Working class women.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a lot to be said about that, but I don't know. I think part of what makes it not like other girls kind of deal is, of course, these girls clearly love each other.
It is the whole Madonna horror complex that media always pit these two against each other when it is so not the case. If anything, these girls are, well, Lucy basically dies a virgin, and Mina is happily married to Jonathan and presumably is not a virgin anymore. So I guess in terms they switch that trope on the head of like,
I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. Like, I don't think any, like, if anything, Stoker was actually a little bit more progressive in that than pretty much every adaptation of Mina and Lucy afterwards.
No, the one detail that does not make it in further adaptation, this is the one detail that should have made it.
Yeah, because, once again, spoiler alert, Mina is a mother by the end of the story. So, yeah, that is that's a fair point. It's just kind of ironic, considering how, even at this point, in terms of horror stories, it's out of date, there is this prevailing idea that virgins never die, or basically if anyone who is sexually active will die, even though, again, even modern horror movies like Jennifer's Body or even Scream subverted that, like, intentionally.
Jonathan being trapped in the castle.
Yep, because, yep, he's figured it out and is not doing very much about it, because what the hell else is he supposed to do, especially while Dracula's crawling down the wall like a lizard.
Listen, Dracula strikes again. Like, Jonathan is not only trapped in the castle, he's trapped in his job, and the fact that Dracula is his client, so he can't exactly leave. He is trapped by societal convention.
Yep.
Dracula wishes he was Doofenshmirtz. And yes, this makes Van Helsing pay the platypus.
Which is deeply, deeply funny. And we also do meet Dracula's brides in this portion.
Seriously, Jonathan fell asleep in a strange room. That is the one thing you do not do in a horror movie. Like, you cannot be oblivious about things anymore. It's like your bubble popped. You're in a horror story now. You deal with it like the rest of us.
Honestly, I am of the opinion that it was like what little act of rebellion he could find it in him to do. And that's why he decided to defy that one rule about not sleeping in a strange room. Like, he was just like, damn it, I have no control over anything. This is the hill I'm going to die on.
And then and it was almost
literally.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Very much so. And, you know, the brides are always so fascinating to me because it's literally one scene, but it was such an iconic one that they basically pop up in every Dracula adaptation. At least anyone that's trying to make him spooky.
Yeah. No, the fact that two of the brides look like, are described as looking like Dracula, so I'm assuming they're Transylvanian, but the third one, the blonde, the one that's supposed to look like Lucy in modern adaptations, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned. She reads as a foreigner, like the youngest of the brides. And this is why I said, like, she might have been like Jonathan in the first place. She was, like, lured into the castle and then trapped.
And it is really interesting considering the fact that in The Invitation, for example, we also got that with the brides, except they made it that it was literally Lucy. Like, I just think that's really interesting. Like, have you seen The Invitation? I thought you did for some reason.
I've seen parts of it. Like, closed captioning is not very available, so I can only see, like, clips of it.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I've seen that, like, finger-sucking scene.
Spoiler alert for The Invitation. That one I will actually genuinely apologize for. It is essentially a Dracula sequel where Dracula won.
Ooh.
Like, even Mina and Jonathan are, like, in their 90s and working for him.
Oh.
I know. As soon as I heard her name, I'm just like, it's so funny because you hear her introduce herself on the phone and I perked up. It's like, oh, ooh, she's going to get saved by the OGs. No.
No, we only wish.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, I was so disappointed.
Considering they're, like, white Victorians and, like, the main character is black, they're not gonna go to a rescue.
Yeah. Should have known. Mm-hmm. And speaking of other adaptations, there is also this really good novella called A Dowry of Blood that's basically from the point of view of one of Dracula's brides. And it's essentially a narrative about how they're all basically being abused by Dracula and how they come together to defeat him. It's great.
Nice.
Like, we even do see the aftermath of the events of Dracula. Spoiler alert, he does not die permanently because, in spite of the fact that's obviously what Stoker intended, he always comes back, as Buffy Summers once told us. But yeah, Jonathan almost gets eaten, and Dracula gets very, very possessive over his new boy toy.
Yep, this man belongs to me. Just when, like, you think Dracula couldn't get any gayer. Like, Cat again, called it.
Yep, absolutely. It's the good polycule versus the evil polycule. And Jonathan's stuck in the middle, poor baby.
No, they're fighting over it, over him, Scott Pilgrim style.
Which, I'm not gonna lie, I would be fascinated to see that kind of adaptation.
Also, Dracula is giving me Bluebeard vibe with the forbidden rooms, the dead wives, the works. Like, the only thing missing is the beard, but he has a mustache, so...
Close enough, absolutely. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, fairy tales and horror stories, they're not, like, a circle. Like, the overlap is not a circle, but it is a sack of pancakes, as we like to say on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least the more old school fairy tales, of course.
Yeah.
Which Bluebeard, I would definitely count among them. Like, when you think about a Bluebeard, like, there's really nothing that magical about it other than the fact his beard is blue. And even then, you could read that as he's just old.
Well, there was that trend of, like, old people dyeing their hair blue.
So, if anything, that just proves my point further. I did not know that, though. That's interesting.
We do get these, like, little hints that Jonathan is, like, trying to communicate with Mina, like, writing in shorthand, like, a secret language. We do love to see that.
You just know that if they were, like, 80s or 90s kids, they would have come up with their own secret language that they would have used in the future if this was a more modern story. They would have had a clubhouse. They would have done, like, Morse code with flashlights across the street.
Aww.
Which I guess is not dissimilar to that podcast that we talked about last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, not terribly eventful chapter otherwise. Not a terribly eventful portion otherwise.
No.
It's basically just Jonathan is scared out of his mind and Lucy is in love.
And everyone is out for his blood. Hope he doesn't get drained.
Yep, ideally no. I will say, like, again, I have the actual physical book of Dracula Daily, and they sprinkled through some, like, fan art and stuff like that. Like, there's this gorgeous stained glass window type fan art of Dracula, his brides, just accosting Jonathan. But also there was this tweet
animatic. There was an animatic about that scene where Dracula, like, storms in and stops the brides. I don't remember if I have it saved anywhere, but yeah, definitely gonna go on the blog if I can find it.
Ooh, fun. And let's see, from Kink Tomato, I know we all joked that Jonathan is the only character who doesn't realize he's in Dracula, but I'm starting to get the impression that Count I too can love Dracula thinks he's in Beauty and the Beast.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's one of the things he says to the brides. Like, they're basically trying to shame him for telling them not to eat him. It's just like, you don't love anybody. But he's just like, yes, I do, bitch.
You love yourself.
Which, yeah, that too. But also, again, gay.
Yes.
Like, it is actually stunning how... Like, there's no way you could get away with a villain saying that in a modern book, because everybody would immediately say that, and it would take them right out of the story, probably, unless that was your intention. So, yeah. Make Dracula explicitly gay, you cowards.
Do it!
Polycule versus Polycule, let's go!
Go!
Yeah, I guess that's about it.
No, but also, it does bring to mind from our Cards of Humanity game, bisexual disaster, Dracula and his lesbian niece, Carmilla.
Obviously. Yes. But, yeah, essentially, we're still having a good grand old time here. We'll see how Jonathan makes it out of this one.
And we see more of Mina and Lucy. Yes. And we get to see the rest of Lucy's boyfriends.
Yes, because we have not met all of Lucy's boyfriends yet. And we haven't even seen her saying, why can't a woman marry whomever she chooses? It's like, again, like, if that isn't explicitly declaring her polyamorous, I don't know what does.
The solution is always polyamory. That's what Sam would say.
Oh, I'm sure. So, same plugs as usual?
Well, you can find me on the Online Muse on Tumblr, where I post listicles and do fan cast requests. And my GoFundMe is still up, so any donations are greatly appreciated.
And as always, you can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, and Blue Sky at Favor Vieira. You could also follow the show on Twitter at IER Podcast. And if you would like to help us reach the next chapter of our story, please consider leaving us a review or rating us on the podcatcher of your choice, telling all of your friends and family about us. And even better, if you have room in your wallets, please consider donating to our Patreon, our Ko-Fi page, or just the support the show link below. And now let's close out this week's Dracula Weekly. Of one thing I am glad. If it was that the Count carried me here and undressed me, he must have been hurried in his task, for my pockets are intact. I am sure this diary would have been a mystery to him, which he would not have brooked. He would have taken or destroyed it. As I look round this room, although it has been to me so full of fear, it is now a sort of sanctuary, for nothing can be more dreadful than those awful women who are, waiting to suck my blood.